Hey guys, we've got a special breaking news extra episode this week because there is breaking news and we've got the perfect person for it. I am, of course, talking to Moto Man of Moto Man TV, and we are going to be talking about some cool cars that he's driven, including the Lamborghini Temerario, if I said that right, the ZR1, which I'm excited to hear all about, the Corvette, of course, the BMW M2CS, the Yangwing U2 Extreme, and the Nilu 27. Isn't that right, Moto Man?
Hold on a second. Don't forget also the ZR1X.
The ZR1X.
Probably the most interesting one out of that entire list.
Over 1,200 horsepower. But before we get to that, let's talk about the breaking news because there's a convergence of a lot of interesting things happening today. That's why I wanted to get this episode out there as soon as possible. And that is, here's the breaking news, drumroll, Honda just announced that they're killing all of their upcoming electric vehicles, and that includes the Zero Series SUV, the Zero Series Saloon, in other words, the sedan, and of course, the Acura RSX, all dead as of today. And they're taking, and get this, $15.8 billion write-off, as in B, and the executives, because I guess they feel bad about the fact that they're taking such a huge loss, are taking 3 months of 30% less pay. So I thought that was interesting on the same day where gas prices have reached now almost $95 a barrel. And I'm wondering, and I want to get your opinion, when you have the convergence of EVs dying and yet gas prices rapidly increasing because of what's happening in the Middle East, whether and when that will actually change people's buying habits. So let me know your thoughts.
Well, I'm going to start with the headline. What took so long for now the fourth car manufacturer to announce a crazy write down with EVs? The second headline is the two are not related. The cost of a barrel of oil, which you and I just checked before we got onto this, has gone from 100 down to 84, back up to 94, 92 as we're talking. The two are not related, obviously, a significant geopolitical issue impacting that. So let's put that out there. With that, where do you want to dive off into?
Well, let's start with the fact that, like you said, this is the fourth manufacturer. So you're of course referring to Ford, which I think took a $20 billion write-off.
19.5.
Yeah, and then who else? Stellantis.
General Motors and Stellantis all took write-downs. The Volkswagen Group has yet to announce a write-down, but I'm thinking their write down is going to be even higher than all of those.
Yeah, it's potentially
so
true.
We're currently at 65 billion with the B in write downs. And really, I think the headline here, and this is something you and I, because you and I generally agree on most things, the pace of EV rollout is where you and I have disagreed. Like, I love EVs. I've got a 240 charger in the hangar. I love the big value of an EV no one talks about is you don't have to spend any time in your day looking for energy. It doesn't sound like a big deal, but it's game changer. However, forcing it down the throat of people that A, don't have the lifestyle for it, and B, frankly, don't have the income for it, that was the issue. And what we're seeing now is reality coming home to roost, and the car manufacturers are finally saying, you know, uncle, they're tapping on the table and saying, we give up. And they're willing to admit the wrongdoing here of committing to a strategy that frankly wasn't fleshed out in time before forcing it down the throats of different municipalities as well as for-profit concerns in Western Europe as well as in the U.S.
No, I am completely with you on board. I don't think that people should be forced to buy anything, let alone, you know, the most expensive, second most expensive purchase in their lives. I think it was wrong and stupid by the politicians to mandate. I think at best they were optimistic, at worst they were unrealistic time schedules when we were going to switch to all EVs. And I think that created the exact opposite of what they were hoping to, which is, I think most people, when they're forced to do something, I'm like that, I'm sure you're like that, are like, F you know, we're going to go the other way. And you're going to take this Hemi out of my cold, dead hands because this is what I grew up with, this is what I love. So I'm 100% on board with you. What I'm not on board with is the fact that EVs have become political, and it's become like a badge you wear that represents what side of the political spectrum you're on. And to me, I don't really care. I love all cars, Motorman. I do. I just love, and I don't care what powers them, whether it's a diesel
I would go
engine.
so far as to say, you don't just love cars. You're a bit of a junkie. You can't turn off that checkbook. That's a problem for you.
No, I know it's my passion, and I'm lucky enough to make it my job. So I really have a hard time where it's gone to, because it's gone from like, no, I don't want this, to no, you can't have it, right? Because it's completely flipped the other way. Now you're seeing an administration that is actively trying to poison the well of electrification. And I
Oh,
think
I
what
wouldn't. Okay, this is where you and I are going to do. This is not an administration saying we're poisoning the well and saying electric cars are bad. This is the reality setting in. This is many years, and I don't want to say it was just the Biden administration or the Obama administration. This was a combination of Brussels and Washington, a number of progressive le legislators that came in and said, we're going all EV and we're doing it on this collapsed timeline. Now, you and I both know a number of engineers, CEOs, chief designers, chief whatever that went in, in private to a number of those legislators and said, look, guys, we can't do it on the timeline you are proposing. And then ultimately, political pressures, they caved and they went down this route. Some manufacturers like General Motors looked at it as here's an opportunity for governments to kind of pay for my R&D. It didn't work out that way. And now we're seeing the unfortunate, we're seeing the end of the rainbow, which is $65 billion in write-downs in for-profit concerns.
so let me justify my statement with facts, because I love you, because you believe in facts, which is nice, which a lot of people don't seem to believe in. And facts are facts. You can have your own opinion, but you can't have your own
Yes, sir.
facts. So, look, I am up completely opposed, and I was never for subsidies. I think that was wrong. I don't think that we should be subsidizing electric cars or
100%.
subsidizing.
I called it a gift for rich people.
But I don't believe we should be subsidizing farmers. I don't think we should be subsidizing big oil. I just don't believe in subsidies. I believe in the free market. I'm a very much a free market person, and I think, if you work hard and you have a level playing field as much as is possible in this world, which is not easy, then let the best company
There we
or
agree. We
But I made the statement. I said this administration is actively poisoning the well, and that is true. The government came out and they provided subsidies for the build-out of electric stations, which they did very poorly, by the way. Electric charging stations, and a lot of individuals invested a lot of time and money into that. And then when Trump came into the office, he pulled those contracts illegally, by the way, not legally. He didn't pull contracts before they were signed. He pulled contracts after they were signed, and after money was designated and spent on the part of the people who had those contracts. So that is actively poisoning the well. The other way that they're actively poisoning the well, as Trump loves, coal, and he keeps saying these things that are absolutely untrue, that coal is clean. Coal is not clean. It is freaking dirty. This is a fact. He has pulled contracts that have been assigned for wind, offshore wind, just anything that has to do with renewables, he hates. This is not a idea that I'm coming out with out of left field. This is substantiated by facts. So yeah, he's gone the opposite way. And look, I'm the kind of guy who's like, okay, we went left and now we're going right. So I can kind of see that. You know what I mean? That's the way the world works, the pendulum.
Can I retort to this?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. I'm going to retort with half facts and half a theory that I have.
Okay.
And Nathan and I don't know if the audience knows this. Nathan is my neighbor now. He's also a member at my cigar lounge. So Nathan and I see each other practically every night, and we have discussed this theory I'm going to share with you. Number one, in responding to your facts, some of this, I can't really disparage what you're saying. I can't say you're off base on any of it. Basically, to the victor go the spoils. You won an election. We've changed the spending of the government. Now, that cuts both ways. 4 years ago, we lost an election. They got to determine the spending. And the deck was very much stacked against companies that were building internal combustion engine cars. It was very much against the idea of building out new refineries. You realize there hasn't been a refinery, new refinery built in this country for something like 50 plus years. The first one just got announced yesterday, a new refinery. Why is that important? Because you're going to have more, forget about the price of oil. You're going to have more throughput, refined finished product, meaning what goes to your gas pump. You're going to have more available, more refineries working on it, which lowers the retail price. So it's really, there's a number of moving parts in terms of the cost of the energy. It's yes, what we pull out of the ground, then how many different concerns are actually creating it into a real product, and then you add in the taxes and the local municipalities, what they put on it, and that's how you get to the final price. Like, I'll give you another like fact example. This got so out of hand, an airline bought their own refinery because the price was so unstable. They figured, let's control what we can control. We don't have an oil field, but we can buy a refinery. And that's exactly what Delta Airlines did in, I think it's Pennsylvania. They bought an old Phillips 66 refinery. And as a result, they control the price of what goes in their jets up and down the Eastern Seaboard. And then the stuff that they can't turn into jet fuel, they sell into the market.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. Elections have results and they have ramifications. But what is especially disconcerting and troubling and sleazy, in my opinion, is when the government illegally, because a lot of this has been ruled illegal, both with the wind farms and with the subsidies that were handed out and signed up for with small businesses to build out the charging infrastructure, were illegally canceled. And what the government did knowingly was they knew that if they canceled these things, they were going to get taken to court and they were going to lose in court, which they have. But by the time they had lost in court, they would have won because the people who were doing these things didn't have the wherewithal or the money to actually fight and hold on that long until the contracts that they were legally granted actually were fulfilled. And I just think that's the government not fulfilling its promises. I think that's a government working against its own population. And yes, if those contracts weren't awarded, hell yeah, pull them. That's your prerogative. But if those contracts were signed, if that money was allocated legally, then you don't have the right to cancel that money. That was done and dusted, dude. And when you start
So
playing,
this is where, let me retort to that. This is where I want to bring up the theory. So I just gave you facts. Now let's talk about the theory. The theory is there's always a pendulum. Pendulum swings this way, pendulum swings that way. It's not specific to the US. It's not specific just to politics, culture, and cars. It works in everything in life. There are times when you're in favor, and there's times you're not in favor. What we're seeing right now, and this is going to be, I know the comments are going to light up about this, and I'm probably going to get torched. But if you look back into the 30s to the 40s, we saw the world all saw a very, very graphic example of what is too far right. I think everyone would agree with that.
You're
And
talking
as a
about the Second
result,
World War and Germany, Hitler.
exactly, that was everyone, no one would disagree with that statement.
Well, I
Okay.
don't
No
know. There's a
one.
lot of Nazis out there who wouldn't agree
Well,
with that.
let's be clear. People that are part of polite conversation. Can we agree on
Yeah,
that?
true that. Yeah, okay.
So
Let's say you're not a waving flag waving German
you and I
nationalist.
have always agreed that we should cut off the fringes at each
Yeah,
end.
fair enough.
We've
Okay.
always so the people we're talking about the people and the polite con people like Andre. Andre is part of the polite conversation.
So you get rid of the Marxist on the left and then the Nazis on the right.
Exactly.
Okay.
So we saw a very graphic example. Everybody in the polite conversation would agree that's too far right. But not since then has anybody agreed what's too far left. And I would argue that the Biden administration was an example of too far left. That's what's being undone. The problem is everyone in the polite conversation, not everybody agrees on that yet. There still isn't a buy-in of, This is officially too far left. That's my controversial statement. Nathan and I have argued about this over cigars. I'm happy to argue with you about it.
You know what's too far right? I'll tell you what's
Tell
too
me.
far right. When you sell off our land, and I say ours because it's yours and mine, everybody who's watching it, and our children's land for profit, you get rid of all the BLM land so that they can mine it, they can drill it, they can, dig holes, and then of course create super funds because companies that do that are going to go bankrupt eventually and they're not going to fix it. When you sell it to private industry, so that our, and I'm going to go here because this is where a lot of the right is at, a lot of hunters then don't have the ability to go hunt it. And that's where this administration is at. This administration is actively trying to sell our children's future. The stuff that generations of Americans with their
You
hard
really want to
sweat and
make this
toil.
political today, don't
No,
you?
but it's true. I mean, you want to see, to me, if you think
For
there's
every
like, if you
example
want to
you
go
give
too
me on the
far
right,
right.
I could give you 10 examples on the left of how too far left has ripped
But
apart our
there's,
culture.
but look.
Maybe it's not BLM land, maybe it's not oil, maybe it's not coal. It could be other aspects of culture, but we could have this debate of whataboutisms back and forth, but
I just say
the realities of the case may be right now, I think people are losing sight that energy gives you independence. That is the reality of the situation. Some energies, I love me some renewables, my friend. I love it, but it's got to be reliable. It's got to fit within a matrix of economics. And frankly, the government doesn't need to be supporting that. In the bleeding edge world, that's what I came from the tech world 15 years. That's what the VC world is for. They take those huge bets, they bet 100 times, and then three of them pay off and become the Amazons and PayPals and Teslas of the world. And that's what's happening in clean energy. Every one of the car, like that M2CS right there, BMW is like a VC fund right now. Putting a crazy amount of bets in solid state batteries, clean energy, renewable energy, and that's BMW, not so much General Motors. Anyway,
No,
wanted to bring that point up.
let me finish by saying that the reason I think you've gone too far right is when you start doing things that can't be undone, right? You said the pendulum swings, but once you sell off our land, the people's land, not Trump's land, not Biden's land, not Congress's land, your land and my land, the land that I use to go off-roading, the land that a lot of my friends use to go hunting, that stuff's never coming back. It's not going to come back. It's gone forever. And I think back in the you had a historical reference. Let me make a historical reference. Back in the day when we had the old oligarchs in America, right? The railroad barons,
Rockefeller,
Rockefeller,
Carnegie.
the steel barons, right? There was this contract that was made with society, and that was we would allow you to amass a huge amount of money doing railroads, doing steel, Carnegie, obviously. But in exchange for that, you had to provide some public good. And that's why you have Yellowstone, right? Because I think that was Rockefeller was convinced to buy
Carnegie
that
Hall.
property and turn it into a national park. That's why you have Carnegie doing all these libraries across the country, right? Selling off the steel company and then building libraries. And with the tech titans, that contract no longer exists. Right, the tech titans are like, hey, we are the kings of this world. We will do whatever we want. We will do however we want. And right now, you have a government that is supporting that, and that's why you're seeing this huge inequity
Okay,
between
so I'm
this.
going to stop you there. I'm going to stop you there. And so what the audience has to know is before we got on this version of recording it, I asked, did you really want to get political?
Yeah,
And
sure.
you wanted to get so, and again, for the avoidance of doubt, and this is goes for both Roman and I and Nathan,
Poor
we didn't
Nathan's
get
not here to defend
I
himself.
like how I throw him right into this. I mean, he's coming kicking and screaming. He's only like 4 miles from here right now, so he's part of this. Anyway. We didn't get, people will argue, you guys are getting political, stay in your lane. We didn't get political. politics came into our lane.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And that's why all we're doing is taking out the trash. So with that, I'm going to respond to your comments here. Again, you like facts, I'm going to give you facts. There's a great way of looking at this. We talked about the pendulum, right? How it swung. It was Biden over here and Obama over here, and you got Trump one, Trump 45, Trump 47 over here, okay? But the reality is no one looks at how we got here. Everybody says, "Oh my God, we got Trump," or "Oh my God, we got Biden." When in reality, this started, my friend, way back in the countercultural revolution, which in turn was started by a group of Marxists that came over to this country. Look it up, the Frankfurt School, which effectively took apart our society from inside by basically tearing apart the culture, starting with the education system. And that turned out now three, four generations of people. It was university. That's where you got the counterculture revolution. University, then into government, then into corporate. And that is why we have this back and forth pendulum swing of screw you, I'm doing this, and screw you, I'm doing this. So you got to go back to where it started. And ultimately, I agree with you. We have to get back to that contract with society of, okay. You could, and this is where I get to be a bit of a religious guy. You know this about me. Right now I'm going through my 11-year-old nephew. The kid's incredible. The kid, he started the lemonade stand on his own. He was the VP of the pricing committee, meaning he came up with his own price, and the price for a glass of lemonade was 50 cents. Why? Because he knew no one had 50 cents and they would give a dollar. And what person is going to ask for change from a 10-year-old? So the
For a
kid
kid,
made 4 grand, 4 grand.
you
And
should
now he's
hire him,
come to
dude.
me
How old is he?
unsolicited. He came to me and said, "Uncle George, I want to invest into ETFs." And I said to him, "Is that some sort of special Lego thing you want?" I didn't drop, like an 11-year-old wanted to invest into funds. So now what I'm doing is I'm explaining to him the very basics of there are only three things you can do with money. You can save it, you can spend it, and you can give it away. And it's that third part that you're focusing on. I agree. There's a portion of it that for a better culture, you do give a portion. Now, some people are going to disagree with this, but it's something, it changes something within you and it changes something to the recipient as well. And I would argue, instead of going back and forth, Trump did this and Biden did that, what the hell changed in the culture to get us to this point? Off my soap.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Sure, let me bring it back to cars.
Yeah,
And your motorman junior there, who is obviously going to follow in your footsteps.
Oh, he's taking over.
But the question that I'm asking myself
Yeah.
is, and yes, of course, Honda didn't make this decision based on the war. They probably made it a long time ago before this ever happened.
Oh, no, this was a year ago.
But I had this experience with my wife like 20 years ago when gas went through the roof. She, I think at that time we had a Volvo wagon, and
Oh,
she was
you had the
commuting.
yellow R.
Yeah, the LR. Yeah,
Cool
exactly. And
car.
she was oh, red R. She was commuting to Denver, and it was costing her a lot. And so she wanted to cut that expense. And at that time, there was one hybrid, and that was a Prius. And so this was like the second gen, third gen, if you count the one that we didn't get. And so I went looking for a Prius because she was spending all this money on gas driving to Denver and back. And the only one we could find was like the very top level. And at that time, Priuses were like $23,000. And the one we bought was like 34. So it had like heads up display, all this crap we didn't want. But that's because the dealer knew that everybody wanted a Prius because gas was super expensive. So the
Yeah.
question is, at what point will people start making a different decision on the kind of car they want? Because the one thing that is true about EVs is that if you charge them at home at night, at least now, they're a lot cheaper to run than the equivalent gas-powered car. If you go charge them publicly, it's going to be about the same. But at home at night, it's still relatively cheap. How much is gas in California today? How much has it gone up? Where are you at? Where are you guys at?
Okay, so that M2CS.
Yeah.
I just gave it back. I had to put gas in it before I gave it back because I ran it dry. I just paid four, 5.19 a gallon for premium
That's not
at Costco.
bad. That's still pretty
At Costco.
reasonable. Okay, Costco.
Yep.
Yeah. I was at like 2 weeks ago, I was at like for premium it was $2.99. Now it's $3.99. So it's
I
gone off
feel
about a
terrible
dollar.
for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but don't cry for me, Argentina.
And that's Sam's Club. So there.
Yeah.
You'd think I'd be the Costco guy.
You're the big cheese. Actually, I got to tell the audience this because I think it's so funny. So Roman and I trade emails, and people have different signatures. Like some people do the Eastern philosophy stuff. Some people say best regards. I always do looking forward. He's signed Big Cheese. And I'm like, what? Big cheese? So you're talking to the big cheese of TFL over
Yeah,
here.
for a long time I put like producer and I put publisher, and I'm like, we don't publish crap. I mean, we're doing videos, so
Yeah.
what is my title? I felt CEO was like too haughty.
Yeah.
COO was not right, and everybody in the office calls me the big cheese. So I thought it was kind of funny and goofy. I wasn't trying to be like, haughty about it. I was just like, this is just silly. It's what people think of me here. So that's why I put it in there.
I think you should go with like Chief Lincoln Correspondent, a Lincoln like Mark IV correspondent.
Okay, there you
Something
go.
obscure like
Mark
that.
five, dude. Mark five.
Was it a Mark
It
V?
was a
Yeah.
Mark five. Yeah, Lincoln Continental Mark five,
You know, I'm going to
75th
give
anniversary edition.
a lesson to the youngins and the people who are just starting in business. One of the things that I did when I was first starting both my tech business as well as this business, I never like had a business card that said like owner or like president or anything like that.
You had big
Like,
cheese?
no, I put in like, if anything, I put like, salesman
Mm-hmm.
or like analyst or, something that was lower
Yeah.
because you want to let people, you don't want people to say, to know that you're the decision maker. It's kind of like an old trick that you see in like Asian business culture. Like if you were to negotiate with like a group of Japanese
Deferent,
business.
you want to be deferential.
Yeah, the guy who's the boss is in the back. He's quiet. You want to be the guy in the front and let them think that you don't have any power and you have to go to the guy in the back. And that's what I did when I first started both of my businesses.
All right, so let's play a game here. All
Let's
right,
play a game.
I'm gonna play a game.
The answer is
I
9/11.
yeah, no, we're gonna get to those in a sec. But I want to take like your and mine politics out of it. But let's
Okay.
right now let's take Iran at its word, right? That they want to see oil prices go to $200 a barrel. I'm just taking it through. I'm not saying it's gonna go there. I'm not saying
Yeah,
next week.
who wants to see it go to $200 a barrel?
Iran, right?
Iran, okay.
Yeah. That's what they said
Okay.
publicly, which translates to about $7 a gallon, give or take. That's what that would translate to. Okay, so let's play the game. Let's just take them at their word. At that point, would people start making different purchasing decisions based on the fact that fuel is now that expensive. In other words, right now we're at a moment in time where the common wisdom is that electric vehicles have failed in America, that they're too expensive, that everybody wants either, hybrids or Hemis. But at what point does that go out the window and people are like, hey, maybe that hybrid or maybe that EREV is not such a bad idea? At what point in the fuel pricing does that happen, or does that not happen? Do people just grin
Doesn't
about
happen. It doesn't
it?
happen. You and
You're
I
going to
love
keep
names.
driving that ZR1X no matter what.
Absolutely.
Okay,
You
fair.
and I, well, I mean, I want to point out you are older than me, but you and I are of an age
Thanks, I appreciate that.
where I wanted to be very clear about that because,
And less
I
gray.
like the gift of clarity.
And less gray motor, man.
this is, let me tell you, this is because I've been driving so fast in my ZR1X and my Temerario. Although, if I'm choosing between the two, it's the ZR1X for
All right,
100%.
so give me
Anyway,
that and then we'll talk about the cars.
so it's not going to change, and I'm going to tell you why.
All right.
It's not going to change because good, bad, or indifferent, my friend, the public, whether it's over in Europe or here, everyone has short memories. People are very emotional in their decisions that they shouldn't be emotional in. So, how many times have you and I seen gas spike and go up and down and up and down? And you would think after gas spikes, people would never make the choice to get a Tahoe again. But General Motors prints money on selling Tahoes.
Yeah, I mean,
So they
there's a.
might have a temporary pain of putting $7 a gallon into the Tahoe, but they know that. Actually, let me take that back. They don't know. They emotionally stick into the Tahoe because they don't want to amputate the Tahoe. In reality, the question you should be asking, how is the world set up where it's in the best interest of more countries in the world to keep oil at a certain price? And that certain price is somewhere between $70 and $90 a barrel.
Yeah, I
That's
watched.
where the market doesn't collapse, people still have jobs, but it doesn't go above a certain amount where people feel pain at $7 a gallon.
So I'd say two things. First of all, I watched Landman, so I heard that spiel. Did you watch Landman? Is that a
I
show
love
you watch?
Landman, but the
Yeah.
answer I just gave you was not based on Landman. It's based
Right,
on you and I going through this. Remember in 2008, 2009, people still went and bought Tahoes.
But basically, in Landman, there's a point where on the radio, he's driving his truck, heavy duty truck, down the road, and on the radio they make this
Ford.
exact point that if gas gets too expensive, it's bad for the oil
Yep.
companies. If it gets too cheap, it's bad. I get that. I understand that. But the other thing they understand, this is maybe because I'm old, is
Yeah, you are old.
that spikes in fuel have real consequences in the automotive world. I'm going to bring it back down to cars. So
Okay.
I remember when the fuel crisis hit in the 70s, because I was a young little kid and I was sitting in the back of the car while my dad was waiting in fuel lines. And that fuel crisis had a number of huge implications that went beyond just a temporary spike. First and foremost, it killed or almost killed the big three, and it allowed the Japanese to come in, because the next car that my dad bought after that Mark V that we had talked about was a Honda Civic. And basically what that allowed was Toyota, Honda, Nissan to come into America and establish themselves with a foothold. And we're seeing kind of the same thing repeat itself now with Hyundai and Kia in some ways, right? Where they're coming in underneath the established brands. And so, yeah, people have short memories, but the fuel price spikes do have real consequences. And it changed basically the way that people drove. And the kind of cars that people drove, because at that time my dad before then had an LTD, which was crap, and then the American car manufacturers were caught completely unaware and completely in trouble. You remember the Chevette?
I had a Chevette in drag. I had an Isuzu Impulse.
Yeah, I mean these were horrible cars, right? Where they tried to do that, and to me this moment feels like that. It feels like Honda's out there saying, hey, by the way, we're killing all of our EVs, and the world's saying, oh, guess what, it's $95 a barrel and it may go higher.
I need to retort on this
Okay.
because there's a lot of moving parts that impacted the shift in the 70s from, General Motors selling 500,000 Grand Prix a year to
My mom had
nowhere.
one horrible
Great
car.
car.
No,
Great
that was a
car.
horrible car. It was always in the
Dude,
chop.
you know I'm biased. I own an Eldorado now. Come on.
Hey, I'll tell before you get there. I have to tell you a story. This
Tell me a
is
story.
my mom. I have no idea how she did this. So I'm at home now. I'm like 16. I just started driving. She has a Grand Prix, a dual
Was
color
it like
Honda.
an SJ, like a 75,
No,
74?
this was like this must have been in high school. I would have been an 80s Grand Prix. So it was
Okay, so the mid-sized G body, yeah.
And it and like the hood was like dark burgundy, and the rest of the car was red. It was really cool. It was a cool
Good
car,
job,
but
yeah.
it was a crap car. So she comes in and she's like, "The car won't start." And I'm like, "Okay, let me go
Yeah.
see what's wrong with it." So I go in, I take her key, it cranks, but it won't start. And what my mom had managed to do, which I couldn't do to this day, was drive it exactly home on the last ounce of fuel so that it ran out when she turned it off in the garage. How do you do that? How do you do
Your
that?
mother was clearly talented.
Exactly. All right, go
Those
ahead.
deck
Let's hear
women,
your
they're
retort.
like magicians. Okay, so I need to respond to this because there's a lot more moving parts than an oil embargo from the 70s. So yes, you had the oil embargo, and with all the stuff with Iran going on right now, if you look at my YouTube feed right now, I'm watching all these like old 60 Minutes interviews with the Shah back in the day to kind of understand and frame what's going on right now. I highly suggest you guys watch it. This is the kind of weirdo crap that I watch.
I mean,
Anyway.
you can see why there are, or history maybe doesn't repeat itself, but there are definite rhymes that are happening with what happened
There are
back then.
rhythms. There are definitely rhythms, no
Yeah.
doubt about it. Anyway, so you had the oil embargo and you had General Motors, Ford, Chrysler on this side of the oil embargo. They had these very large, very fuel inefficient cars. And then for a long time, you had these Asian manufacturers making efficient cars. Why? Because they were rebuilding from war. There weren't a lot of resources. Energy was hard to get in that part of the world, so everything had to be more efficient. So going into the oil embargo, they already had an advantage in that the product was already ready for a shock to the system. Then let's get past the oil embargo. You get into now General Motors, Ford, Chrysler, everyone, they have to completely keelhaul the system. Overnight, they got to take the Grand Prix that was this in 77 and make it this size so your mother can drive it on fumes into the garage. What happens when you do things fast? You fall on your face and the product isn't as good. So you had Asian manufacturers, they had this great product.
Uh-oh.
They had a currency that gave them an advantage. So they could sell in the US and repatriate more money back to Japan. Because basically, that's kind of what China's been doing with their market right now, in that they depress their currency. So they can, at that point, I wouldn't go so far as to saying Japan was dumping in the US at that point, but the currency that the basically the FX worked to their advantage so they could sell you a car A, cheaper, and B, that was more efficient. That's why people like your dad went over there. Now, granted, market forces had an impact. If you remember, when your dad bought that Civic, he didn't pay sticker, he paid over sticker, and it wasn't a GT3 because market forces at retail had an
Actually,
impact.
he didn't. At that time, the Civic was the cheapest car you could buy in America. It was
What
2,500.
year?
80, late 70s, early 80s. I think it was. First of all, let me correct myself. It wasn't a Civic. It was a CVCC. It was the one before the Civic, and this would have. So my dad bought that. He was also smart or stupid. I don't know. He bought that car like 3 years before he started driving, so it
Yeah.
must have been in the 70s. So that when I started driving, he gave me this piece of crap.
Yeah. It was
Because it was a
rolling
piece
birth control.
it was a piece of crap.
Yeah.
I put on these like KC lights because I wanted to make it cool. You're not gonna make it
Yeah.
cool. And they drew so much power that when you turned them on, the engine would go like
But if you had that car today and brought it to Radwood, you would be a rock star.
I would
You
they
would be a
didn't
complete
last
rock star.
because what you said, the metal was just horrible. It was just they
Yeah.
all
It
rusted
was
away.
good. Thank
All
you.
right, hey,
Now,
let's talk about the car behind you.
you
I've
want to talk
been
about you? Because I can give you one more point about
All right, give
this.
me one
Like,
more.
okay. So now, fast forward to 2026,
Yep.
and this kind of segues what we're talking about. China They have a currency advantage. They have a currency as well as a manufacturing advantage. So yes, they've set up like, for example, they do manufacture in, I believe, BYD manufactures in Brazil. They manufacture in Hungary. So what they're doing is they're doing a combination of let's manufacture cars in the market to get around taxes, and let's send over like whole sections of the car that have already been manufactured in China at a much lower rate. So the car that is competing with a RAV4, and a RAV4 should cost 30 to 40 grand, they can sell it to you for 20 grand. That is effectively dumping. And that's what Canada is about to get themselves into because they've opened up their market to the Chinese car
Yeah, but I
manufacturers.
think with Canada, they were import so they were importing the Teslas from China, and that's what's going to happen again. So what happened was when they put the tariff on the Chinese cars, they started importing the Teslas out of the Fremont factory in San Francisco. And I think what most people are saying is BYD just asked if they could import cars into Canada, but most of that is going to return to the Chinese built Teslas. So a lot of it won't be the traditional Chinese cars. It'll be Teslas that are built in China that are going to be shipped to Canada. So they're
There's
American
a
cars.
yes to this. They are looking at putting on, and I think they are. There was discussion of it. I'm not. I can't say 100% certain. Would love some Canadians to weigh in the comments. There was a whole discussion of putting taxes, higher taxes, on low production internal combustion cars, cars like Miatas, cars like Z4s. I think they only sell the manual now, but cars like Z4s, cars like Corvettes. So it's not just we're going to have more EVs in the market, but the tax rate changes, which kind of goes back to what we were talking about before, the pendulum going each way. And obviously, it's still very much over this side in Canada.
All right, tell me about that 01X, dude. I'm dying to know. What's it like?
Does your guy have a bleep button?
No, there's no, it's me. There's no, my guy's left. It's just me
There's
and
no
you.
cursing.
Cole's not
Okay.
here. So don't just bleep yourself, please.
Okay, I'll bleep
So
myself.
it's bleeping incredible.
This is an effing moonshot.
All right, there you
Like
go.
no other moonshot you have ever experienced in your life, ever.
Okay. I mean,
This
I've driven the Revuelto, so that's 1,000.
craps on the doorstep of a Revuelto.
Okay. That's a V12, dude. 12
And
cylinders.
I, don't get me wrong, love me, I'm not a Lamborghini guy, but I
Yeah.
love me a Revuelto. I think it's a beautiful car. I think the hybrid system is one of the best integrations. It uses the Yaris motors, which is owned by AMG, to great effect. However, what this car is, this is nothing short than the pinnacle of American ingenuity at the intersection of a group of deviants inside of a large for-profit company basically turned the system around to their advantage, and they were able to get enough budget to create the thing, the widget they want. And they got enough time. It's like in life, you own a business, you never get enough time, you never get enough resources, you never get enough money. This was a car that they've iterated, I would argue, since the C6 Z06. So it wasn't like we're going to make a 1250 horsepower car. It was okay, we're going to start here.
All right,
Then
let's
we're going to
look.
move the engine back a little bit and make the C7. Then we're going to finally get the budget we want. We're going to put the engine in the middle and make an aluminum tub. The aluminum tub, we already know we want this crazy hypercar. We just don't know how to do it yet. Then they sold 53,000 Corvettes in 2023. Obviously started paying the bills. They went back to the bean counters and said, "You're going to give us the time to go and create this crazy thing we want." And then he created the ZR1, which was the first, or like the kind of second to last step, with this crazy LT7 turbos this size, where they've got the thrust in the back. Then they played around with the electrification of the E-Ray, where it wasn't just lifting the E-Ray motor and putting it just box standard in the ZR1. They completely changed the software so it has almost 30% more power coming out of the battery, which gives you 16% more power out of the motor. They changed so much so they changed the housing in the front and the shafts. But that's all the tech. The amazing part, it all works, and it works incredibly well.
Yeah, so let's just take a quick step back for those of you who are listening. In 2020, the C8 came out as a Stingray, which had a normally aspirated V8 produced, I think, with the a sports exhaust, 485 horsepower. We had that one. And then they followed up with the flat plane crank Z06, which upped that to 670. Then about a year ago, the ZR1 came out, which
Well, don't forget the
basically
E-Ray.
the E oh, yeah, the E-Ray. I'm sorry, I forgot about the E-Ray.
E-Ray
So,
is a big piece of this.
yeah, so the E-Ray took the straight V8, not the flat plane crank V8, and added an electric two electric motors to it, right? Two, one for each of the front wheels and a battery,
Now,
small.
there's one electric motor in the E-Ray. There is one electric motor in the front.
Okay, so one electric motor. I think the Revuelto has two.
Revuelta has two in the front, one in the back.
Back, yeah. So anyway, they had an electric motor, and they gave it all-wheel drive, which made it more interesting for people like me who live where it used to snow. I'm going to say that because we've had no snow forever, and a little bit of all-electric range. And then, of course, the Z06 came out, which went the flat plane crank, 670 horsepower, and then they turbocharged that, 1,000 horsepower, and then they added the electrification to that, which gave us the ZR1X, 1,200 and some horsepower. And
Lord.
price-wise, a base Corvette probably starts at what, like 80-ish, the Stingray, and then you
Base
get
Corvette starts still at $69.95.
for the
Stingray for the Z,
70,
no
70,000.
Z51. So 70 grand. And then you start, so 70 grand. Then I think you get to like 100 for the E-Ray, a
Then
little
like
over 100 for, well, you know better on the
120 for,
Z06. You just got one.
120 for the Z06 starting. If you wanted a 3LT, ours was the sticker on it was 138, but we got it a lot cheaper because everybody was trading theirs because they wanted the ZR1.
Yeah.
ZR1's like 170-ish, and then you get to like
Zero one's
two.
185 for a 1LZ.
Okay, 185, then what? You get to like 210 or 220 for ZR1X.
What you're not seeing in this picture is we also shot a ZR1. That car, the one we had, was 223.
Yeah. So that compared to a Revuelto, which starts at about 800,000, is just a freaking bargain. But let's forget, let's put Lamborghini aside and
Yes.
let's take it home to you because you are a GT3 man.
Yes, sir.
So the question I'm dying to ask, and you know what the question is, if I gave you 300,000, which is what a GT3 costs now,
Yeah.
you could either buy the one behind you, the ZR1X, and get like 50K back, or you could spend every penny of that on a GT3. Which one do you buy? I'm talking about Porsche, of course, 911.
Okay, so here I have to give a disclaimer.
Okay.
Always buy what you love.
Fair.
Now that I have that out of the way. Oh wait, always buy what you love, and cars are not a vehicle to make money. Now that I have the legalese out of the way, I would pick the 911.
Well, then you're also an investor. Let's put that out there.
Yeah, to me, I look at it as I'm not trying to make money. I look at it as I'm managing a fund.
Okay.
And if I want to have fun with the fund, I got to keep the fund as big as possible. And I'll be honest, like, I'm not going to lose money on a GT3. I don't think I'm going to lose money on a ZR1X. If someone told me I could buy a ZR1X tomorrow at sticker, I would. Would I keep it as long as I had my GT3? I don't know. I would keep it and have fun with it. I wouldn't sell it just to make money on it. But resale for me plays a big role in terms of just vehicle to vehicle. Now that I've gotten my GT3 yayas out of my system, I probably would want this. I would probably, not probably, I definitely would want the ZR1X over the regular car. The only thing I would say that this car suffers against a GT3 is the steering.
And the
The steering,
manual, right? Manual, you don't have a
well, the
manual.
manual too, but when you drive this, you'll see the personality is not suited to a manual. I think the Corvette, I think what Corvette's missing right now is the 500 horsepower car that weighs 500 pounds less, has a manual transmission, make only like 750 of them. I think that would be a rock star. But the thing this gives up to its competition, and I would say that the 911 GT3 RS is the competition, really Turbo S. The front suspension, it's still a Corvette, and it doesn't have the precision that the double wishbones in a 911 have. And in fairness, you pay for that. The Porsche, as you said, is 50 grand more than this car, which was loaded and was 250.
So, full disclosure, right now TFL owns, at least as of today, three 911s.
You got me beat.
I got you beat. Yeah.
Wait, and you own an Eldorados, don't
Yeah,
you?
we have a G-body, we have a 996, the most loved, of course, and the 997
Yeah.
dot one. So I'm kind of familiar with 911s, and the one thing that I would be I would have to point out to you is that all the stuff you said are these very pretty words, but like the car guy in me is screaming, but Moto Man, you get like at a minimum 600 horsepower more, 600 freaking hundred more than you do in any 911.
Okay,
That's a
so
lot.
to
That's crazy.
it is
600 more
crazy. It's ridiculous.
horsepower.
In my episode, I compare it to the 911, the 992.2 Turbo S, and I compare it to the 849 Testarossa in terms of a value and horsepower comparison. What we're seeing right now, we just talked about politics and war and like energy prices spiking, but you can laugh at me. We're living in a golden age where we're seeing something built in Kentucky, built by the amazing engineers and designers in Warren and Milford, Michigan. They have made something that you don't think about the money. Like, I don't think about the cost of this car. I just think that it is every bit as good as its competition. The only areas it lets itself down is in the steering, and that is it. So, like, if I were to rephrase it, you can't have a GT3. You would only compare it to what its direct comparison is at Porsche. And that would really be a 992.2 Turbo S. I would choose this. Why? Because the 992, the non-GT cars do not have double wishbone suspension.
So a lot of respect to you because the way I see the world, and I love both. Like I say, I love all cars, but I
Yeah.
love we you know we own one cor no we own three Corvettes as well. So three
Yeah.
911s and three
Yeah.
Corvettes. We
Must
own a
be good
six.
to be the big cheese, man. I want
Yeah,
three Corvettes.
we own a 68 convertible with a 327. We also own a 91 ZR1, the original C4
I gotta come
ZR1.
and drive both of those.
Yeah, you should. They're fun. But the thing I would say, and this is why I respect you and like you, is most Porsche 911 guys, and I'm talking about the hardcore 911 guys who
Yeah.
listen to Spike's car radio and who are deep into the world and myth of 911s,
Yeah.
always poo-poo the Corvette. They're always like to them the Corvette is something that like a 90-year-old guy with white shoes and a
Yeah.
belt that's around his ankle because he's fat and old and bald drive. And the Europeans do the same thing, might I add. They do the
You know
exact
what?
same thing. They give the Corvette no respect. And finally, true that, I mean the problem with the Corvette has been that it's always been let down by the interior. It's
Not
always had
anymore.
Not anymore. It's always had
Not
parts in
anymore.
parts. It's always been front engine versus mid engine, which of course is, the world standard for these types of cars, or it has been for hypercars slash supercars. But now they have not understood, and you have, that the world has changed, and they still have this like image of what the Corvette driver is, and they don't understand that this new vehicle is world class.
Let me retort to you with some facts that involve you, as a
Okay.
matter of fact. So I'm going to make a statement here, and people could disagree with me or they could agree, whatever they want. I would argue that the car world, including Porsche people, Lamborghini people, and Ferrari people, now very much respect not just the ZR1X, they respect the C8. And I'm going to give you two data points.
Okay.
Data point number one involves you, and you were there for it. You and I, we do these tours of the car shows. And remember, we were in your hometown in Chicago.
Yep.
We were sitting in an E-Ray. And you and I were debating, is this cool? Is this car cool or not? And you posited that the car wasn't cool to young kids. And right as you, the words were just coming out of your mouth, there were like five
Yeah,
college
I remember.
students
That was cool.
coming around, and Andre's over here. They're on the left side. I'm sitting in the driver's seat. And people can go back and watch this moment. They come over, and I'm like, I look at you. I'm like, you know what? Let's put it to the test. So I got out of the car. I went up to them and I said, guys, is this car cool or not? Why or why not? And every one of them said, that car is cool.
All right. All right. Let me
And
give you a
they were like 20 years old.
let me give
Okay.
you a data point.
Hold on. I'm going to give you one more data
All
point.
right. All right, no, let's exchange. Hold on. Let me give you one,
Okay.
then you
You
give me
data point.
one.
I'll give you
All
then
right.
I'll give you another.
Yeah. So we were at the Quail as well. Your call.
I'm hanging with the big cheese.
Yes, you're hanging with the big cheese at the Quail, and we walked by the Corvette stand, and I believe if I counted right, there were three Corvettes there. Is that
There
right?
were.
Were there
Well,
three?
no, three was four.
Three or
You're
four?
forgetting this. You're forgetting the 59 Stingray, and Peter Brock was there.
Yes, okay, four. Three in the stand, one on the side. Four Corvettes, all right? And then we walked by the Ferrari stand. How many F50s were there, Moto Man? Can you remember, even count that high? How many F50s were at the Quail?
I don't have enough fingers and toes.
Exactly. And that's just F50s. I'm not talking about F40s or Testarossas or
Those aren't
the
quail.
plethora
Okay,
of
I
other
love quail,
Ferraris that
but
were
quail's
there.
not car people. People are there for a scene, man. Quail, and there are some car people like you and I there. It's a great, I love the quail. I love the quail. But it's people like to go there for like they can sit and they can have the drink and the food and it's fancy.
Spike's
And
car
it,
radio. That is them. That
but
is the
no, it's more
audience.
than Spike's Car Radio. It's basically, you know what it is? It's
What?
first class. It's like you know, there's a, okay, you're a United flyer. Now I'm
Yes.
going to sound really bougie. I'm going to
Okay.
sound really bougie. And I'm going to get a lot of crap for this. Have you ever gone to the Polaris Lounge at LAX?
No, never have gone to the. I've only been to the regular one, not the Polaris
Well, you
one.
know, there's a regular United Club in
Right.
Denver. And you know how it's now like above the terminal? And you can look down on the regular people in the terminal, okay? That's what Quail is. People like to look down on the other people because you can't get a ticket for Quail.
I
But
don't,
two
by the
things
way,
can be true at once. It
I'm not
is an
trying.
amazing show. It's one of the best car shows I've ever been to.
I'm not trying to take a dump on Spike's Car Radio. I used to be really good friends with his
Spike
sister.
is a good cigar man, so I got to
He
support him.
is. He is. I used to be really. I've never met him, but I was really good friends with his sister before she moved to Europe. So I love the show. I enjoy it. I'm just saying that's the kind of world that those people where they have
But how
multiple.
often can you and I go, like poor slobs that you and I are, and interact with like what well, there was 15 F50s or something like that, and that Vulcan, that Aston Martin Vulcan we were shooting that sold in the time that we shot it, we were standing there shooting it, and the guy's handing over a check and say, "I'll take it."
Hey, dude, we are going to run out of time, so let me get to some of these other cars. Tell me about the Temerario.
The Temerario is a technological marvel. I think it has the same equation as the Revuelto, but it's missing something. And that something is the sound. And when you go and you, okay, that the car they gave me was like 550 grand. It's beautiful, like matte blue. It had a tan leather, and it was a very mature looking Lamborghini. But and the technology, like you guys got to see my episode where I interviewed the CEO of YASA. The car, basically, these electric motors are, what can I like?
Yeah, I know. I
They're like
was,
this thick, no
yeah, they're, yeah,
exaggeration.
they're, yeah. Mercedes bought the company specifically for the
And so
motors.
what they do, and so the same motor that's in the Ferraris and the Lamborghini and will coming AMGs, and the idea is the packaging of the motors is better than the VET, I'll tell you that. But it is a fast car, and dynamically, it's an amazing car. I just don't think it's very attractive. I think it's very functional in its look, like all the scoops to move the air in certain ways. I get why they do it. It's just not as attractive. And the sound, it's not good. The sound is not good. And then when you get into this, it speaks to your primal nature, the sound.
Yeah. Hey, one other point I wanted to make on the, and this is a question I have specifically for you. So, 1200 horsepower, it seems like it's too much for the road. So, the reason I don't feel bad about not having a 01 or 01X, besides the fact that they're crazy expensive, is the fact that, with 670 horsepower in the Z06, that's barely street usable. How do you use 1200 horsepower on that
So let
windy
me,
road?
I'm glad you brought this up because this is an important point. And I'll liken it to something you understand because now I understand you grew up in a Ford household. There's a thing called a GT500 and there's a thing called a GT350. A proper car guy knows the GT350 is the better car.
That
500
that's what most I think
horsepower
so.
in the Mustang platform is perfect. It's beautifully balanced. Me, not a Ford guy, I would totally have a GT350. Okay. GT500, way too much power. It overpowers the chassis. It's a waste. I wouldn't own one of those. This is different because the ZR1, I know you're going to not believe me, it puts even the rear wheel drive car, It gets the power to the road. It is 100% usable, and it creates these, there's no way to describe it. It's like giggle moment. Like this, you're like a 3-year-old where you're sitting in the car and you drop the hammer and the car is so fast, but not in a way like a Tesla Plaid where it hurts your face, or a Taycan Turbo S where it feels like it's ripping your face apart. This, it feels like an old school muscle car and pushing you back in the seat, but at a velocity unheard of. And I'll give you another example. When we were doing the edit for the episode, we do this launch of when I first dropped the hammer on the car. I thought my editor sped up the footage, and he had to tell me 3 times he didn't speed up the footage. The car's that fast.
Wow, that's crazy. That especially, I like what you said about the problem with the Plaid is, or any electric car is, you do that once and it's cool, and you do it again and you're like, I'm getting sick to my
Oh,
stomach,
absolutely.
and you do it with somebody else in the car and they're like, what the hell was that? You know what I mean? Because they slam their head, and it's a party trick that gets old really quick, really fast, and the power is so sudden and so abrupt that it's not pleasant. It's not even like a roller coaster. It
No.
just is what it is.
This is pleasant, it's fun, and even in the rear wheel drive, it is crazy usable.
What size, do you remember what size the rear tires are? How fat are those? I want to say the
Oh,
Z06 is either 315 or 335. They're pretty wide.
I'd have to pull up
I
the,
don't worry
I'm
about it. I'm
sure
sure. I'm
they
sure.
put the
And they're
graphic
huge,
in
I
there.
bet. All right, let's get to the Yang Wang, because this is an interesting vehicle. The Yang Wang U9 Extreme, didn't it just set a record at the Nürburgring for fastest lap time for
Last
an
year it
EV?
set a record for the fastest car, like top speed, some like 400 kilometers,
Yeah,
not
tell
some
me about this
crazy
thing.
number like that.
It's got the doors, right? It's got the gull, gull, not gulling.
I mean, talk about a party trick on four wheels. This thing is a party trick on four. If you look at my Nilu episode, I got some footage from China of the car doing the dance on the hydraulic system. I mean, the car weighs something like 4,500 pounds. It's got three, they have the Extreme is the 3,000 horsepower car. I took it around their proving grounds in China, and I mean, I take my hat off to them because they're not going to make any money on it. They don't need to make a car like that. That's not what BYD is about. But they do it because A, they can, and B, they're trying to push themselves. And it needs work. Like, there's no driving dynamics to speak of. It can't really handle its power. It has the, I'd say, structural rigidity of a paper bag when it's going around a corner.
Yeah, I mean, this has always been the rub with a lot of not just Chinese companies, but a lot of startup companies where they could do something like extreme power or extreme 0 to 60s, but the subtle nuances, right? The things that make a car so much fun to drive, specifically like a 911, right? The road feel, the way the car deals with the inputs that you give it, where it becomes almost a part of you, where you become a
But
part
that's
of the
the
machine.
difference between this and the 9/11 is what, 70 years of very small evolutions over 70 years. The Corvette, I would argue, this the 01X is, when did the C6 Z06 come out?
Two
Like,
years ago, maybe.
no, C6
Oh,
Z06.
C6. Oh God, I can't tell
Like
you that.
05, 06 or something like that.
Don't we had a C6. It was one of the more disappointing cars. And
So
maybe it's
let's call it 20 years. I
yeah.
would argue this level of performance in a Corvette is an evolution of 20 years. This U9 is the first brick in what will probably grow. And I wouldn't discount them.
All right, and let's finish up on the BMW M2 CS. Of course, CS is a competition, so it's the top
Yes.
of the line. It's the
Magnificent.
top dog.
Magnificent.
Was it manual? Let's start with that.
Nope, they don't do the manual, and their logic is, but we don't offer you a manual because it makes it 97 pounds lighter. And it's like, the car weighs 3,770 pounds. Give me the manual. I don't really care. Like, I'll tell you what, I'll pay an extra like 5 grand if you do more carbon fiber to balance the 97 pounds somewhere else. Because think about it, car's rear wheel drive. And here's the real kicker of this one. Unlike other CSs that came before it, this has a real power bump. Goes from 453 to 523 in a car that weighs 3,700 pounds. That's really good.
Yeah,
And
just an FYI, I was
then,
at Pebble with BMW when they unveiled that. So
So you saw the car.
I saw it.
But
Yeah. That's why I'm
so
so
what they
curious about
did
it.
is they took, it's not just 3,700 pounds. So it's about 100 pounds lighter than a box standard M2, but it's 100 pounds lighter basically in the roof. So lower center of gravity. And then they change out, like the body work is a little bit more organic. It looks more muscular. The car is tuned, so it's got a little bit. It does the Porsche trick where they give you like it's 10 mils lower in the suspension height. So the unfortunate reality, like you're seeing our shoot day, the BMW was the camera car for the ZR1X, and the ZR1X was the camera car for the BMW. So going from this to that in the same day made for a very unfortunate day for this car. But
Yeah.
after spending a week with this car, you see the beauty of it. You understand why it's worth it. And I'm going to make a statement here again. People can laugh at me about a lot of things. You can get an M2 for high 60s with no options. Okay.
And a manual. It's the
And a
last BMW.
manual.
Yeah,
Yeah.
last M car with a manual, last BMW with a manual.
Or you could buy this for $111,000. If it were me, I would buy the $111,000 car, not because I'm bougie in a Polaris lounge. It's because this car in the long run will be cheaper. You spend $111,000 for this car, you will be able to sell this car most likely for between 100 and 115 in like 5 years, provided you don't put 100,000 miles on it. And the reason I say that is the F87 was $83,000. Those cars resell every day on Bring a Trailer for $95,000. So
Yeah,
if you're
like I
using it just
say.
as a toy, buy the $111,000 car and either don't pay anything to own it or make money, but drive it.
So
Don't just let it sit and do nothing.
the car guy in me says, if you're thinking about how much money you're going to get out of the car, then you're also thinking about how many miles you can put on it, because the more miles you put on it, the less it's worth. And for me, that takes away from the pure love of the vehicle, because now I'm not thinking about how much fun I'm having. I'm thinking about how much money I'm losing every time I drive it. And I never,
Just being honest, man, I'm being realistic
I know,
because when you're getting
I'm not.
these numbers, 250 and 111 grand, and what is the Bugatti Tourbillon, which one of the most beautiful cars I've ever seen, $4.6 million. The way I look at it, and I know this sounds terrible, it's if I'm pulling 250 out of the bank for this, how much is that 250 going to be worth in 10 years if I just kept it in the bank? I know that sounds terrible. So I got to make sure I'm protecting the fund because I want to continue to have fun with the fund.
I get that. And this is a relatively recent phenomenon, because for a long time, when you bought a car, you were guaranteed one thing, and that is that it would depreciate, no matter which, unless you got one of the special Ferraris, right? There were some that obviously wouldn't do that. But since COVID, especially with the special cars, the prices no longer do the down and then up. They just either flatline or they go
Oh,
up. And that has
let me.
changed the buyers of these cars, and it has
I'm going to
changed the
make
way
a.
people approach them.
I see what you're saying. I don't make these statements based on from 2020. I make these statements from when I first bought a Pontiac Fiero.
Okay.
Like, I learned the hard lesson of maybe I'm weird about this, very possible, but I learned the very hard depreciation lesson with an Isuzu Impulse Turbo. I paid
Okay.
14 grand for the car used, and I sold it for six. That was painful. Percentage wise, that is losing your ass. And I said to myself, I'm never losing money on a car again. So what I did, and this is when I was in like college, I bought a Fiero, cheap, used, cash, fixed the clutch, sold it, made money. Not a lot of money, made $1,000.
Sure.
Then I bought an FCRX7. I cleaned it up. There was nothing wrong with it. I cleaned it up, sold it, made 3 grand. Bought a Supra, made another 3 grand. Put the money in the bank. Then what started buying other cars. And every time I've always looked for opportunities where A, I can afford it, and B, I own it just long enough where I have a taste of it, but then I kind of move on and I get the next car. So I was not losing money on cars way before there was viruses and GT3s.
Yeah, fair. I always like to say at TFL, we buy high and sell low. That's kind of the
You
thing
do.
that's kind of the thing we do. But there is something else, there's value there in a
But
different
that's what I
way.
love about you. You guys, man, like your son, he's just as much of an addict as you are.
But let me kind of tell you the way that I approach it. Right now, the most expensive car we own is that Z06, and even then, I get very nervous about having that much money in a car. And that one will probably not appreciate because everybody dumped their Z06s so they could get the ZR1 and ZR1Xs. And now, of course, there's the Grand Sport coming. So, they're going to keep rolling out new cars, which is going to make the older cars less valuable. I get that. But the problem with that approach, in my mind, and you've maybe have worked your way around that, is most people who do that have to end up with very expensive cars because most cars depreciate. Most cars, 90 whatever percent of cars depreciate. The ones that don't appreciate are the ones that are unique. For a long time, 911s depreciated, right? It wasn't that Magnus is selling his collection. He bought those cars for nothing because 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you could buy 911 for like 10K. It wasn't until recently that 911s have become like Ferraris. But the problem I have and the issue I have is when you start spending 138 like we did, we didn't spend it. We got it cheaper because it was on sale. But when you start spending that much money in a car, you're missing out on so many other cars. And so, yes, I would love to own a ZR1X. And at 240,000, I'm sure when I drove that thing, like you said, I would have a huge smile on my face. But the thing I think about is I could have so many more experiences. Right now, we have Andre's. I got to be careful here because I don't know what's public or not. But his uncle gave us a car.
Okay.
All right. And it's a pretty interesting car. He basically is going to be in Europe for a while. So I was renting a garage from him, and I paid him rent for the garage for this year. And then he wasn't going to return from Europe. And he said, in lieu of that, I'm going to give you a car. Right. And so this
Okay.
car is an Isuzu Rodeo, first generation with over 200,000 miles. I got it for basically the cost of a garage for a year, which is less than $1,000. And I got to say, as much as that's a really goofy and silly car, driving that thing, I have as much fun, or at least not
Believe that.
100% as much fun as you in that ZR1X, but I'm enjoying myself at least 50, 60% of what that car cost. And I'm thinking to myself, I got this car for less than $1,000. Imagine the kind of experiences I could have with all these other cool cars that I could never have if I take all my money and spend it on one car. And
Well,
yes,
let's
that
go
car
back to
will
the point I just
appreciate.
made. Let's go
But
back to the point I just made.
yeah.
The concept of not losing money on cars is a concept I proved over a 20-year period on cars that were all below $10,000.
That's why
And
I said you may be the exception.
you can still do that today. Now, I will admit, to do what I'm telling that the prescription of what I'm offering here, A, it's like a second job. And B, you've got to get in and out quicker. Like you're not going to, like I've my 911, I own a car for over 2 years now. If you want to make money on that, you need to sell it quicker.
Yeah, you should have sold that last year or a
But
year
I'm still
ago.
going to make money on it. I don't care. I bought the car because I wanted the car. I bought it because I love the car. I didn't buy it to make money. And that's
Fair.
why I still have it.
Yeah.
And so, like the Cadillac is a great example. Cadillac was 20 grand. I'm
Yeah,
never going to
tell them the
lose money on that
Cadillac you own. Just
Cadillac.
tell them it's an Eldorado. It's a what,
The
seven?
1985
Yeah.
Eldorado commemorative edition, so the last of the 10th
Yeah, and
generation.
you
They made
told.
only 200 of them in this Commodore blue with a two-tone white and blue interior. And it's unique in that it doesn't have the Landau roof, but it does have the factory Astra roof, and it's 33,000 original miles. And here's a car bought for 20 grand. I've already turned down a lot more people to buy the car.
And
And it's got sentimental attachment. I'm
the
not going to
most
sell it.
interesting thing you said to me, which I think is also true, is when you take it to Cars and Coffee, more people come around and ask about that
I'm
car
out
than
of the
your
woodworks.
GT3. Yeah.
People don't, I mean, I go to San Clemente. This is the one that's in the big one in Southern California here. I get better parking with the GT3. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But more people come up to me for the Cadillac because everyone, it's like a Volkswagen Beetle. Everyone's got a story like, oh my God, my uncle had one. Oh my God, my mom used to take me to school in this thing. Or oh my God, my uncle, he stopped driving and my parents gave me this car to take to college. Like my college roommate. He had a diesel Eldorado Biarritz, like 84 with the sunroof, and that was his car. And he used to pick up so many women at night.
But I mean, what the hell is Biarritz? Is that a designer? What? I never understood what that.
Biarritz, so it was
Yeah.
the south of France, Biarritz, and so they put
That's the south of France. That's a place in
the
France.
French reference. And so what
Yeah,
they do is they've got the they put the stainless steel roof. They did it back in the 50s too. I
all
don't
that.
like.
Like,
I
I'm
don't like beer.
completely. What's a brome? What the hell's a brome? I don't even
The
know what a brome.
Broham.
Broham,
The
yeah. What is a
Broham.
brome? What's beer? It's what are these things?
It's every, you know how the Germans are Anglophiles? I guess we're Francophiles.
Yeah. I get the Cartier edition. I mean, I know what that is, so
Yeah.
that one I get. Anyway, I want to thank you for joining me for this emergency
This was
episode.
great, man. We really debated in this one.
Yeah, and I can't wait to read your comments. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the
Yeah.
viewers. That'll be interesting. And forgive us. I know a lot of times when we go political, people hate it because they're like, "Hey, we come here without wanting to get into politics." But I don't think we didn't go political. The world went political, and we're kind of just reacting to it. I think that's
Exactly.
fair. Yeah.
So this is the Big Cheese and Modal Man React.
You're never gonna let me live that down, are you?
Never,
Okay. Well.
never. I love
I'll
that.
change it when I get off this podcast. I'll go
Oh, I
change
don't
it.
want you to change it. I want you because I love
No,
it so much.
I'm gonna take your advice. I'm gonna change it to Little Cheese. You'll see. Next time, I'll be the Little Cheese.
Maybe I'll call Nathan Little Cheese. That's what I
We'll let Tommy be Big Cheese or
do.
Medium Cheese. Well, guys, thanks for watching. Head on over to Moto Man TV where he's uploading. I guess when will your video of the 01X come out?
If all goes correct, it's at 9 a.m. tomorrow.
Oh, there you go. So perfect timing. Yeah.
Yeah, if all
Yeah.
goes correct, we're still got some things going on. We got this one, and we've got this. We also have the regular 01 episode, but that's going to come in a couple of weeks. And then we did a cool episode. You're going to love this. Cheap 911 or expensive Corvette? It's a comparison episode. Not
Yeah,
this one.
interesting. What was a Corvette and what was a 911? What model?
992.2 Carrera T with a manual or a Corvette E-Ray.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
And they were just basically the close, I mean, not the same, but close in price.
Yeah. What, 150-ish? How much?
158 for the 911
Yeah.
and 139 for the Corvette. It was a very well-optioned E-Ray. Beautiful. It's blue, Riptide blue. Oh, it's
You remember
gorgeous.
like 4 years ago you could get a 911 for 99 base, and now the
Oh, yeah.
cheapest one is 58,000, or
Yeah.
in other words, 58% more. It's crazy.
I got
Crazy.
another comparison episode where we did either cheap 911 or expensive M4. That's live now on our old channel. And that car new, the 911, we got a used one from the dealer that I bought my car from. That car new was 100 grand. And they sold it the day after I shot it for 120.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy what's happening. That should be a whole other episode. What's going on with 9/11s?
We'll cover it. You should come
Yeah.
down here. We got all sorts of cool cars for you and Tommy to drive.
Yeah, stay tuned. That's part of the plan, definitely. All right, guys. Well, thank you for joining us. Thank you, Moto Man. Head on over to Moto Man TV if you want to check out, if you want to see actual video and listen to actual sound of the ZR1X going through its paces. I will see you with regular scheduled programming at the next week where we're back to 4Runners. So there you go.
Back to foreigners. That's kind of your thing.
Yeah, it's a TRD Pro though. So in
You buy
Wavemaker
one?
Blue. Yeah, so it's kind of cool.
Did you buy one?
No. We just drove it. I was in your neck of the woods, and Toyota took me and Tommy on this. I was get this. I was on an influencer program, content maker program, where the idea was you could surf and ski in the same day. So they took us to Mammoth and they took us to Dana Point. And so I did the skiing and Tommy did the surfing. So thank you,
Oh,
Toyota.
thanks for coming to say hi.
Yeah, you know how much time I spend away from home if I don't have to. All right, thanks guys. We'll see you next time. Ciao.